Good morning, everyone. I appreciate those songs by Matt and the prayer by Brian. It's good to be with all of you this morning. Our number seems to be down just a little bit, but I know we've got some people that have been out sick, and I know we've got a number of people that are on the road today, and so that explains that. I thought I would spend a few minutes this morning continuing in the series that Buck has been teaching to us, and we've been talking about, for lack of a better term, obscure figures from the Bible, people that play a very small role in the Bible. In fact, maybe only a few verses, but when you look a little more closely at their lives, they serve a very important purpose, and there are lessons that we can learn. This morning, I want to discuss someone who is, I admit, she's a favorite of mine. The problem is, I don't even know her name. I want to talk just for a few minutes about the Shunammite woman, the woman from Shunem. If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, we'll be looking at a few verses from there to tell us a little bit about this woman. But before I begin, let me tell you just a little bit about the city of Shunem. The city of Shunem sits in part of the Jezreel Valley. Of course, the Jezreel Valley runs east to west across the land of Israel, and of course, there was a lot of passage through that area. And the Jezreel Valley actually really kind of consists of two valleys. The Jezreel Valley itself is kind of in the shape of an arrowhead, and then the Harod Valley kind of comes out of the arrowhead like the shaft of an arrow. So you have basically the Jezreel Valley coming in this area through the land, and of course, the Harod Valley connects the Jezreel Valley with the Jordan Rift Valley here. And the city of Shunem sits right at the confluence of those two valleys. And so a lot of people would come through there, as we'll notice from our passage today. But this is where Shunem is located. This next picture, I've shown this picture here before. This is the Hill of Moreh. I'm actually standing at Jezreel, the biblical city of Jezreel, when I took this picture. And I'm looking across the western end of the Harod Valley at the Hill of Moreh. And the city of Shunem sits right over here at the base of the Hill of Moreh. Today, there's a Arab village called Sulam there. It's about 5,000 people in population. And so it's not a small town, but it's not a big city either. But it sits right there. But that's where this is located. And so this is where the setting for what we're about to read takes place. And so if you look at 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, let's just begin reading in verse 8. And I'm going to read down to verse 28 or so. Starting in verse 8, it says, "One day Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, 'Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the floor, on the roof with walls, and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there.' One day he came in there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call the Shunammite.' And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, 'Say to her, see, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' Gehazi answered, 'Well, she has no son, and her husband is old.' He said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway, and he said, 'At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant.' But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. When the child was grown, he was out one day with his father among the reapers. And he said to his father, 'Oh, my head, my head.' And the father said to the servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when she had lifted him up and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door behind him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, 'Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again.' And he said, 'Why do you go to him today? It is neither the new moon nor Sabbath.' And she said, "All is well." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Urge the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And when the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Look, there is the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is all well with your child?'" And she answered, "All is well." And when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" And of course, we all know the rest of the story. Elisha ends up following her back to the city of Shunem, where he finds her dead son and later raises him from the dead. And I just love this woman. She's just fantastic. And so real quickly this morning, I want to go over three lessons that we can learn from this woman here at Shunem. Why do I love this woman? I love this woman because she recognized that life was about seeking opportunities to do good. That's what life was all about. Verse 4 states that she was a wealthy woman. We don't know how she became wealthy. You know, maybe she inherited this money. Maybe she worked hard and earned this money. We don't know how. It is interesting to note that it mentions that she was wealthy. It doesn't say that her and her husband was wealthy. It says that she was wealthy. But the important thing is that she recognized that the wealth that she had could be used for good. She helped others. She helped Elisha when he came through town. You know, she arranged for a room to be built on her house for the purpose of giving a place for Elisha to stay. And she recognized that she had been blessed by God and that this was something that she could do for others. And so what's the lesson in it for us? Well, we need to look for opportunities to do good as well. A couple of weeks ago, I participated in a training session. And at the end of that training session, they asked all of us to name a highlight of 2018. Name something that you look back on and just smile that happened to you in your life. And we kind of all went around the room and we mentioned that. We mentioned something in particular. And then they said, "Oh, well, I'm going to ask you a more difficult question." They said, "We want you to, could you please tell us of something that you regret from 2018? And so we went around the room. And I had a little bit of difficult time doing that because, first of all, you got to look inside. You got to look inside yourself and you got to be honest with yourself. And then you have to verbally say that in front of people. That's not an easy thing to do. But after I thought about it, I eventually said that I wish I'd taken better opportunities to do good for others. There are a lot of times in our life in which we have opportunities to do good. And, you know, it is so easy for me to say, you know what, I'd rather do something for myself instead of doing something for someone else. And that's just so easy to do. We need to have the right priority in our life. We need to look for opportunities to do good. We need to write that card to the person who's sick. That's so easy to say, but then it always slips off the back burner for me. We need to send that encouraging text to someone. If you know someone that's down, send them a text. Encourage them. We need to, when we see someone that's truly in need, we need to help. We need to not let that opportunity go by. We need to look for opportunities to use the talents and resources that God has blessed each and every one of us with to do good. You know, God, when Jesus was asked about the greatest commandments, he says, you know, you need to love God. But then he followed that quickly up by saying, you need to love man as yourself. We need to look for opportunities to do good. Why do I love this woman? It's because she recognized that life was about seeking opportunities to do good. Another reason why I love her. She recognized that life was about being a leader and getting things done. She's married, but if you read through here, she seems to have an interesting relationship with her husband. She seems to, at least the limited amount of information that we have on her, she seems to take the lead on everything. Now, we don't know why that is. Verse 14 mentions that her husband was old. And so it could very easily be that there was a significant age discrepancy between the two of them. Perhaps he had already passed kind of the prime of his life. And so she just felt the need to kind of take the lead on things. And so maybe that's why she did. But if you look closely at this passage, there's a number of things in which she does. She takes the lead. You know, it was her idea that we need to feed Elisha when he came into town. And it was her idea to, let's add on to our house and let's provide for this man. And when her son fell ill, did you notice that her husband, how's he going to solve the problem? He turns it over to the person who can get things done. He says, send him to his mother. Let her take the lead on this. And then after her son dies, what does she do? She says, I'm going to go see Elisha. I'm going to go do this. It was her that did this. And then there's a little nuance in there. Did you see when she was getting ready to go, she called for a servant, but she was the one who saddled her donkey. She took the lead to get things done. When something needed to be done around there, she made sure it got done. And I don't mean to turn this into a discussion about the woman's role in marriage. Obviously, we know that a man is supposed to lead the family, and the wife should be submissive to her husband. Well, I don't see any evidence in here that she is not being submissive to him at all. But that doesn't mean that she doesn't take the lead on when she should do things. So what's the lesson for us? Well, we need to be doing things. And not only do we need to be doing things, we need to lead efforts to get things done. When I come home from work every day, I admit it, I'm tired. And I don't want to, you know, the couch looks so appealing just to sit there. But guess what? Just because I'm home for the day doesn't mean there's not anything that needs to be done. There are some things that need to be done. And it's easy to say, you know what? Someone else will take care of that. But that's not how things get done. We need to take the lead and get things done. Kids, get your homework done. Don't wait for your parents to tell you to do it, or don't do it because you have to do it. Do it because it's something that needs to get done. Kids, take your trash down, take your laundry down to the laundry room. Just do it because it needs to be done. I could say something here to the moms, but let me admit, moms, you do a pretty good job of this. Y'all see things that need to be done, and you get it done. So let me talk to the dads and the fathers. Fathers, help the moms do the things that need to be done around the house. Maybe you go in there and help her fix dinner. But that help can take different forms. Maybe you help her by actually helping to cook. Maybe you help her by just handing her the flour. Maybe you help by staying out of the kitchen and vacuuming the floor in the living room. But do it because it needs to be done. Take the lead on things. Do things that need to be done. With regards to our church family, can you imagine how much more effective we would be if we all not only looked for opportunities to do things, but we actually then took the lead. Let me go and do this. Let me gather up a few people. Let's go do this. And so there's so many things that we can do. Why do I love this Shunammite woman? Because she recognized that life was about being a leader and getting things done. And finally, really quick, I love this woman because she recognized that life was about keeping the right perspective. For all the goodness that she had shown Elisha, he wanted to repay her. And he asked her a couple of questions, one of which was, do you want me to say something to you? on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? Now, this would be a huge armor, a huge honor. And let me again explain about this. Remember, I mentioned that I took this picture from Jezreel. About this time, Ahab and Jezebel, rulers of the northern kingdom of Israel, they had their capital was in Samaria. But in Jezreel, they had a huge palace, and they would come here a lot. And I'm sure every morning, every day, the Shunammite woman would walk out of her house, and she could look up there on the hill and see that palace. And she probably reacted the same way that all of us would react. I mean, if we lived, you know, across the street from the White House, you'd probably walk outside and look there saying, boy, I wonder what's going on in there today. I wonder what they're eating. I wonder what they're doing. But the opportunity to actually, go into the White House and participate in some of those things is far outside our reach. We'd never be able to do that. She probably felt the same way. I mean, the opportunity to have the chance to do that would be amazing. And that's exactly what Elisha is offering her here. But I love her response. He looks at her. She looks at him and she says, I dwell among my own people. Another way, she's content with where she is. She doesn't need the presence of the king to make her life complete. Because guess what? Her life was already complete. She had the right perspective in life. It's easy to lose the right perspective. I mean, we need to all, the lesson for us is that we need to all be content with what we have. I mean, we are truly blessed. Yet there's a huge desire, myself included, to have even more. I mean, I want more money or more things or a better car or more elite friends, anything. I want more. But what we fail to realize when we say things like that is that, the things that we have are not really ours anyway. They're on loan to us from God. When we die, guess what? All this stuff that I've accumulated, I don't take any of that with me. And it immediately becomes someone else's stuff. We just kind of pass this stuff along. We can't take any of this with us. We need to be content with what we have. And that's exactly what she's saying here. Yes, I have the opportunity now to have a word spoken to me in front of the king. Yes, I might have the opportunity to speak with the king. Yes, I might have the opportunity to form a relationship with the king that could better me, but no, I don't need any of that. I'm a God-fearing person, and I'm here to serve others, and I'm fine with that. Why do I love the Shunammite woman? Because she recognized that life should be about having the right perspective, which is what she had. As Buck has pointed out in recent weeks, you don't have to be a big-name person to have a positive influence on others. You don't have to be a Joseph or a Moses or a Joshua or a Peter. In fact, we don't even need to know your name, and you can be a positive influence. I am sure that when the Shunammite woman did these things, she had no idea that 3,000 years later I'd be standing up in front of all of you talking about her. But here we are. And so let's all strive to be more like her. That's my lesson for this morning. Thank you so much for your kind attention. We'll take a break, and at about 9:40, we'll begin our period of worship.